Today on Rainbow Country, Toronto DJ, Cosmic Cat, and my Big Brother Canada coverage continues. Plus, I have a big announcement to make. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, this is Emily Saliers from Indigo Girls, and you're listening to Rainbow Country on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Rainbow Country may use words or phrases not suitable for all audiences. No matter who you are.
Hi, this is Carol Pope.
No matter what you do.
This is City Councilor Kristen Wong Tam.
We all have a story to tell. And it starts right here on this gay radio show. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we'll raise our pride. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this continuing journey through Rainbow Country. To Rainbow Country, as I like to call it, a little gay radio show that helps give voice to the LGBT community. As always, I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. Get social, get interactive on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Mark Tara Music. Honestly, it's the best way to keep up to date with all things Rainbow Country. Who's coming up on a particular episode, on a particular month, that sort of thing. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. So, are you an artist, and you have a project coming up in 2018 and later 2018, and you want some media time, send me an email. I will have you on the show. Mark at marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on Podomatic.com, Google Play Music, and on Spotify. And by the way, on Podomatic's gay and lesbian chart, last week, Rainbow Country was number 3 on Podomatic's gay and lesbian chart. Yay, yes. It's all about choices, right? All about choices. And don't forget, all the episodes are hooked up at the archives. As of today, all 97 episodes. MarkTara.com, MarkTara.com. So, this is episode 97. On today's show, my Big Brother Canada coverage continues. So last week, there was a triple eviction where 3 house guests left the Big Brother Canada house. Butterfly of Death, Johnny, as well as the duo known as the Ding Dongs, Alejandra and Olivia, all 3 of them were banished, kicked out of the Big Brother Canada house. Plus, in my spotlight, Toronto DJ Cosmic Cat, one of the co-founders of the wildly popular monthly party Cherry Bomb. So, my big announcement. As of June 2018, Rainbow Country will be expanding to 2 hours on air. I think it's going to be from midnight to 2 a.m. starting in June. Yay! Exciting, eh? So my friends, are you ready? Because this journey through Rainbow Country begins right now with Big Brother Canada.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Alejandra.
Hi, how are you?
Olivia, Johnny.
Yes.
Or maybe should I say Ding Dong and Butterfly of Death?
Ooh.
Yeah, I love it.
How are you feeling today, Alejandra?
I'm trying so hard not to be salty and be happy that I'm out in the real world, but I'm not. I just want to go back in. I'm still looking for a secret power of some sort. I feel better than I felt yesterday, but more at ease with everything, coming to terms, a little less bitter, but still bitter.
Yeah, still a little bitter and also tired. Like, last night I didn't sleep at all. Brain is still in game mode. It's weird spending so long thinking about everything going on in the house and then being all of a sudden in a different room that wasn't the house and having to still have those thoughts. So getting used to the real world again.
So, Alejandra, let's go back in time a bit. What was your strategy going into the Big Brother Canada house?
Essentially, I just wanted to focus on being really flexible with my strategy. I didn't want to be too fixated on something specific because I know you got to kind of just be adaptable. But mainly my focus was to build genuine relationships with as many people as possible and really build a solid social game. And most importantly, just find one individual that I feel I could ride or die with to the end and truly trust, because that would be my confidant, my rock, and anybody that I wanted to kind of bounce ideas off of. And I'm very grateful that I found that in Olivia.
So, Olivia, Johnny, same question. What was your strategy going into the Big Brother Canada house? Olivia?
My strategy was to lay low at first and then try and bring out the wins as I went. But that didn't really work because I kind of partnered up with Allie, who is very outspoken and really loud. And I mean, that's awesome and I love it. But I think being a duo and having her personality really put a target on us. So I felt like I almost had to compensate for that and lie extra low, literally and figuratively, and try and like diminish that target that was put on us.
Yeah, I came into the house saying very vocally that I wasn't scared of winning power right away. I know a lot of people wanted to like lay low in the beginning, but I definitely wanted to, you know, get some relationships built right away, and I knew that winning power is the way to do that. Obviously, I would have put up two guys had I won, if there were like a full selection of people, but with the Heaven Hell twist, that wasn't the case. So it's kind of a shame that I had all these girls to choose from who I thought I could work with in the house, and unfortunately, Rosina took a slice of Johnny's knife.
So the two of you were evicted on a triple eviction. Do you think you can prepare for something as big as a triple eviction, so maybe you don't end up on the block, or you're good with your fellow house guests, so you know you don't get nominated or evicted? Olivia, what do you think? Do you think you can prepare for something like that?
I think people will always try to prepare for that, but honestly, having been the HOH in the double, a triple is even more crazy than that, and at the time, it feels like anything goes. And I know that going into the triple is later in the season, so people have, like, targets, but it honestly is just a free-for-all, and they just start shooting at the biggest targets, and you really can't prepare unless you win either the HOH or the veto.
Yes.
A butterfly of death.
Butterfly, yeah. I also agree with that. I think that in the week leading up to the triple, everyone kind of knew it was coming just based on the numbers and the time left. And everyone tried to run each and every possible scenario over and over and over again. And it just showed that there was potential for five people to be involved in the triple. And because of that, like, you weren't able to protect yourself entirely. I did my best. I tried to make connections and tried to make sure that people would, you know, keep me safe. But at the end of the day, I was standing there as a threat and ready to be picked off, and I could not compete in that age range.
So, Alejandra, what would you say was your biggest move in the Big Brother Canada game?
I think my biggest move would probably have been kind of planting the seed in Erica's head to backdoor Veronica. I know she definitely feels as though she kind of came up with that on her own, and that was okay for her to believe that at the time. But I do believe that Olivia and I kind of inception that into her mind long before she actually fully felt on board to do it. And I think that that was huge for me because I knew Veronica was definitely coming after me. And I knew Veronica had a beast inside of her that I would not have been able to beat in the long run. So I think that was a big move. I think another big move was probably forming a stronger connection with Dayla than Erica or Johnny ever knew about, which ultimately led to Erica's demise, and it should have led to Johnny's demise too, but I kind of messed that one up, didn't I?
So you made a deep run in the Big Brother Canada game, Alejandra. What was the most challenging part of this whole experience for you?
I mean, obviously not being able to talk to the people you care about in the outside world and get the words of encouragement or support when you're feeling really bogged down is really difficult. But I also think the frustration of never winning, pulling out a win was really tough for me. I am a competitive person by nature, and I do feel very capable and able. So to constantly kind of feel defeated by others was really hard on my confidence and on my psyche. I also knew that with a win came power and also reward. I knew that I would get a video from home and constantly feeling like videos, pictures, and I never got those. It deflated me a bit. And then constantly not being able to have power to really maneuver the way I wanted to was quite frustrating for me.
So, Olivia, what would you say was the best part of your Big Brother Canada experience?
I mean, this is going to sound so cheesy, and I know everyone's going to see it coming, but honestly, meeting everyone, like, I could not have met more incredible, like, unique personalities if I searched for them. I'm definitely going to stay in touch with everyone after this, even if what I say about the final five right now, if they win, like, when they win, I'll be super happy for them, and meeting everyone was definitely the best.
Alejandra, the best part of your Big Brother Canada experience?
I think the best part is realizing a long, long lifetime dream. I'm such a huge fan of the show, and it was so surreal throughout the entire process. I would find myself sometimes taking a moment and taking it all in and just being so in awe of the fact that I was actually in there. So I think realizing a dream, a lifelong dream, is probably the best thing. And I think definitely building some real, genuine friendships in there I'm going to have forever. So I just couldn't be more grateful, and I can't wait to do it again.
Johnny, same question.
Yeah, I mean, I was a huge fan of the show since being a kid, and obviously I've dreamed about it for a very long time, and finally having the opportunity to go inside there and experience it all firsthand has just been unbelievable. And on top of that, to not be one of the first people to go out and actually have a full fleshed out experience, which I believe I did have, it's just like memories made for the rest of my lifetime, and I hold them very dear to my heart.
Alejandra, Olivia, Johnny, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
This is
pleasure.
Awesome.
Don't forget, Big Brother Canada airs Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays on Global TV. Check your local listings for airtimes. And if you're on the internet, you know, doing whatever you're doing, maybe you are a fan of Big Brother Canada. And why wouldn't you be? Make sure you check out Hamster Watch, all one word, on Twitter. They break down the highlights, the lowlights, the no-lights, the spoilers, all that sort of good stuff. Hamster Watch on Twitter. Make sure you check them out. When I return, my spotlight on Toronto DJ Cosmic Cat. Stay with me.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.
So joining me now in studio, world-class DJ, electronic music producer. Her current EP is called Gems. She is DJ Cosmic Cat. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel really calm and relaxed right now.
Okay, I love your lipstick. What color are your lips right now?
I think the color is, it's got a really cool name. It's Fenty by Rihanna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so it's a lavender, but it has like a cool name. They all have really cool names in her line. I forget.
Oh, wow.
But it is the light, kind of a pastel indigo.
It's very pretty.
Thank you.
Very pretty. So your current EP is called Gems.
It is.
It's a 3-song EP. Give Me the Bass, Escape to Toronto. I'm from Antigua.
Yes.
Okay, so my first question, are you from Antigua?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm born in Canada, but okay. if I go back far enough, it's my heritage is Jamaican and European.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why the title?
Well, I did a show in New York in January, and my wife came with me. And after the gig, we stayed with a friend of hers from... a colleague of hers from work who lives in Brooklyn. And so we were chilling in a brownstone in Brooklyn, and she's
chilling in a brownstone in Brooklyn. Sounds like the first line of a song.
It does. And it's true. We were, and it's a really dope brownstone. I was like, wow, this is amazing. There's like 20 rooms. But she was talking, Carmen, my wife's friend, was speaking, and I just fell in love with her voice. And I just said, Carolyn, do you mind if I record your voice? Can we do a spoken word kind of, can you talk for me? Mm-hmm. And so at the dining room table, I put my phone down and I interviewed her, and we chit-chatted. And I just said, tell me about your life. And she started off, I'm from Antigua.
Okay.
And I said, I have to make a song out of this. And of course, I was all inspired from the weekend in New York when I DJed at the Standard Hotel. And then we went to Cielo and went to the Funk Box party. I didn't spin there, but it's like an Afro soul party. Mm-hmm. And they have drummers and dancers. And I just said, oh my God, I'm just so musically inspired and hyped up right now. And I have to make a track. And so the track came out, I'm from Antigua.
Well, just in terms of the drumming and the dancing and the whole thing, it's and I just, that's why I feel like music is a lot more cellular than we allow ourselves to make.
How would you describe the sonic landscape of Gems? How would you describe the sound of Gems?
I made Gems as a little bit of a playful extension to hashtag Cosmic Love. The song I'm From Antigua, for example, was, if you listen to Cosmic Love, it's a big departure from it. It's pretty tribally and soulful. And... also, Give Me the Bass. It has different samples, and I was just playing with different ideas and different concepts and using my voice in a different way. And I just wanted to keep pushing the boundaries and say, you know, hey, I'm going to do this track, and I'm going to do a track with spoken word, and now I'm going to do another different track with pitching my vocals up and Escape to Toronto. And so, yeah, it was just about... always pushing the envelope of what your comfort zone and experimenting as an artist. So the sonic landscape is about playfulness and being different, doing something different.
What inspires you? Where do you get inspiration from?
I guess it's a combination. Maybe it's a universal thing, but it's from outside and from inside. So from outside, like, I got a lot of inspiration from traveling. So just a weekend in New York will give me a lot of inspiration, a weekend in Philadelphia, or just wandering around Toronto or going to a club and hearing a producer or a DJ, or going to someone's house and hearing songs on their playlist while we're sitting around drinking, or just even walking down the street and hearing like someone's car with the window down. And
do you ever hear, you might be hearing in the distance, you might be hearing a song, but you're actually hearing a different song within that song. Do you ever get that?
I do. Since I was a kid, I would hear like three notes and I would hear songs in the washing machine cycle, and I would hear songs in the garbage truck make noises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Jupiter Productions. Why did you start your production company, Jupiter Productions?
I started Jupiter Productions in 2007, and I think it was a sign to myself that I was taking my career seriously. It's a registered business. I'm a sole proprietor, and you know, I file taxes, so it's legit. And I think that it's always been interesting when you grow up in a family that appreciates the arts but maybe doesn't want their kids to go into a full career in the arts. And so it was always kind of like, well, it's a great hobby, but you really can't make a living out of it. And so that struggle between being seen as a serious artist and just someone who just like rolls in and plays some songs and parties and DJs and like drops some beats, it's always been there for me. So I think Jupiter Productions really helped me legitimize my career in my own mind. And
do you find when you say you have your own production company, Jupiter Productions, people take you more seriously?
For sure. I mean, there's clients that will not work with an individual. They're going to write you a company check. And I have to have a business account attached to that. And it's real. So yeah, for sure. Having a company that can be a record label, can release my own songs legitimately, have them on Spotify, iTunes, you know, collect royalties. All that is business side of music, and someone has to manage it for you. So I manage it for myself. I do have songs signed to other labels as well, but it's good to have your own business that you can run things through, and then your accountant can like sort it all out for you. And yeah, so I guess I did have a dream of having a bunch of artists under my roster, like a record label, right? But then as I tried to work with different artists and push, I produced two albums for people, and it just pushing it was such a massive effort. I realized that I wanted to create more than I wanted to push another artist's stuff out there.
It's a hard line when you start using your own talents and abilities to create someone else's vision. That's a tough call to make.
I feel like you can do one or the other. You can be the admin side for somebody and the artistic director for somebody else, or you do that for yourself.
Yeah.
So I did try, and I found that I just didn't do it justice.
And how long has Jupiter Productions been around?
Since 2007.
Wow.
Yeah.
Over 10 years.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. So you've been a DJ. You've DJed around the world. I want to talk about two locations in particular. You DJed in South Africa. Talk to me about that. What was that experience in South Africa like for you?
Well, it blew my mind. I loved South Africa. It was a very strange experience in South Africa, but I loved the country. I'd never been there before. I had been to Africa several times. I actually lived in East Africa in Tanzania when I was a child for 3 years, and then went back in 2012 to Rwanda with my karate team and competed, and it was a great tournament. But as far as South Africa, it's very different from the rest of East Africa where I had been before, and the energy is very interesting with the history of apartheid and all that, and there's been a lot of changes, but it's still like very strange for someone from Ontario, Canada,
mm-hmm.
who's Afro-Caribbean, to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I had two gigs there, and one was the No Pants, No Problem gig, which was a really, it's an international party that follows the international AIDS conferences around the world. And what they do is it's a protest party for all the research that's being done for AIDS mm-hmm. and the money that it's making and how, who is it affecting and who is it helping. And the people that run it are protesting the corporate machine
right.
of like kind of like cancer mm-hmm. ink, pink ink, the machine. So, mm-hmm. So I was lucky enough to be added to the bill, and it was just a once in a lifetime experience.
So is that something that you sought out, or did they find you?
I sought it out.
Okay.
Because my partner was going to be there for the conference.
Okay.
And I said, I
want to be part of this.
I want to be a part of this. Yeah.
So,
and for that event, I did not take any money. I was just like, no, this is just experiencing it and giving
yeah.
back and having fun.
So talking about experiencing, you experienced Iceland.
Yeah.
You DJed in Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
That was probably the best gig. I just recently had a gig in January, which was probably my new favorite.
Okay.
But that was my favorite for many years.
Wow.
It was
in Reykjavik?
Reykjavik, mm-hmm. yeah. It was an underground club that was all house music. And an old friend of mine from a band called Couscous was touring in Philly, and we connected and stayed in touch. And then the gig manifested in Reykjavik, and it was just so legit.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like the crowd was super open and real house heads, and everybody danced, and I just felt like I had just made it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just felt like I was home.
Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, it was great. It's a great feeling when you're in your own zone and you're
yeah.
like, I'm doing what I want to do, what mm-hmm. I love to do
mm-hmm.
for my people
mm-hmm.
that appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate them. And it was just great.
Yeah.
So, and then we went back to Iceland the next year or 2 years later and got married or got our wedding rings custom
okay.
made there. And we went there for a honeymoon. That's what it was. Yeah.
Hmm.
So we just got the big kind of cheese ball tourist pass for Reykjavik Pride and mm-hmm. did every single activity, the boat cruise, the brunch, Yeah. Things that I would not do in Toronto, like just like nonstop partying from the first kickoff opening event to the last closing event.
Yeah.
That's what we did in Reykjavik Pride. And it was pretty well attended.
Talk to me about a song of yours that's on hashtag Cosmic Love called Disco Droid. Talk to me about this song.
Disco Droid was probably my biggest ode to disco on the album, and I wanted something that I could play out, and it's probably the most successful track that I play out. Like, it's most accessible. Like, a lot of people who hear it can be like, oh, it's disco house, it's like so fun and easy to rock on the dance floor. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people go off to it, and it really makes me like high when I drop my own track and I'm like, oh yeah, and then that's Disco Droid. It's a strong track for me.
Inside of me.
So DJ Cosmic Cat, let's talk about Toronto's hottest, best loved women's LGBTQ party. It happens once a month. Voted best club event for women in Extra Magazine's Best of Toronto for 4 years running, Cherry Bomb. How did Cherry Bomb come about?
So Denise Benson had a night called Savor years ago, and I had just arrived in Toronto from Philly, and she asked if I would like to be a guest DJ. She had guest DJs there, and I was like, sure. So I DJed there, and our vibe was like really similar, and we were like, wow, we're like on the same tip here. And then Savor ended, and Denise approached me like a couple months later and said, like, do you want to start a new party? Because I'm not ready to just drop this whole thing, and we work well together and musically as well. So what do you think? And I thought, what a great idea to start something new in Toronto that would have maybe some live acts, maybe some queer guest DJs, you know, focusing really intensely on like high quality music, but being really inclusive in a time where a lot of the female parties were just like women only. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And we were like, nah, it's got to be queer and everybody's welcome. And a couple things that we just put in our mission statement that kept Cherry Bomb going, I think, for so long is just, you know, it is the openness and it is about the passion of music first. It's not a scenester party. Mm-hmm. It's for people who love music and for people who love queer people.
So had you been friends with Denise Benson before this?
No, it's interesting because I knew of Denise Benson because when I was 18 or 19 living in Hamilton going to university, or not even, I think I was like underage, I would come to Toronto and there'd be a Boom Boom Room or
a
party that Denise, like a queer women's party was usually thrown by Denise Benson.
Right.
And so then I just knew her as this, you know, DJ who threw parties in Toronto.
Okay.
And then I moved to Philly and she was part of these like acid jazz news groups or like music kind of websites that I would follow and I'd be like, oh yeah, Denise Benson from Toronto. Mm-hmm. And so that's about it. It was like, I just knew of her in the industry.
So if someone hasn't been to a Cherry Bomb event, and maybe some people haven't been, how would you describe the event, the vibe, the music, that sort of thing, the scene? How would you describe that?
It does change, and it has changed from 10 years ago.
Do you guys have themes?
We have had a few themes. It's not run on themes.
Okay.
But we throw in a few themes now and then. For example, in February, we had a beach party theme. And people got all decked up. We had inflatables. We had palm trees. We had beach visuals. We had just beach balls everywhere. It was fun.
Beach balls everywhere.
It was ridiculous.
So where is Cherry Bomb usually held?
It's always at the Round in Kensington Market.
Okay.
Yeah. It used to be at Andy Pool Hall in the early days, and then Andy's closed. And then we moved it to the Kensington Market, and it's been there ever since, every third Saturday.
Yeah. Every third. So what's coming up? What are you guys planning for Pride? Anything special?
We have an annual party that is pretty legendary, if I do say so myself.
Okay.
We get the Mod Club, and we sell it out. And we have dancers and hoopers and several DJs and two floors and a patio. And we have live visual mixing from a VJ. And we hire a lot of staff to do the decor and completely transform the Mod Club on both levels. Mm-hmm. And it's quite spectacular.
And so when is this going to happen in June?
This will be June 23rd. It's always on the Saturday of Pride.
Okay.
It's the big, it's pretty much the big women's party. And there are other parties for sure, but it's affiliated with Pride Toronto. We're the official after party of the Dyke Day afternoon. And we always have been. And so we get a lot of support from Pride Toronto. And we're an affiliate event, and we're one of the few big women's parties at Pride that's in an accessible venue as well.
This will be your 11th year.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel to have such a successful event continuing, you know, for this one will be the 11th year. How does that make you feel?
Overwhelmed with gratitude. I can't believe it. It's amazing. I think I'm so grateful that the scene in Toronto can support that. Mm-hmm. And that, for example, we had one time somebody celebrating their 19th birthday, mm-hmm, and someone celebrating their 50th birthday,
nice,
on the same night. Mm-hmm. It's such a wide age range. Mm-hmm. And we have such a big, just every month, I'm like, who are these people? Like, mm-hmm, I don't know the crowd anymore. Like, it's turned into its own thing.
Right.
And, you know, we work very hard at promoting it, and mm-hmm, it's not just this magic thing that happens. But I feel very, very grateful for the scene in Toronto that's so open musically. Mm-hmm. We can play pretty much anything, and people dance and love it, and the vibe is really friendly and really fun. Mm-hmm. And I think people are just there genuinely to have a good time. There's no attitude.
Yeah.
There's no BS. It's just a really fun, flirty, fun party. Yeah.
Well, speaking of fun and flirty, Philadelphia.
Yes.
You moved to Philadelphia.
I did.
And you moved there, and you ended up living there for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you really honed your craft for DJing?
Definitely. It's not where my passion for DJing, I think. I mean, honestly, when I was 9 or 10, I remember walking around with a little tape recorder and, mm-hmm, like, taping songs off the radio,
yeah,
and cutting off the announcer and making my own little mixtapes.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I've always been obsessed with music. Mm-hmm. And then when the whole DJ thing started, it was kind of around the time where skateboarding and DJing and like Warped Tour and all this, mm-hmm, stuff started coming out. And it was just like this big magical time of coolness. And I was, mm-hmm, like, wow, DJing is the coolest thing in the world. And I heard a mixtape from New York where they used to sell these mixtapes on the street. And my friend's little brother went to New York to visit some cousins or something and brought back a mixtape. I mean, I listened to that thing till it just, whatever happens to tapes, that's what happened to it. And I just couldn't figure it out. I was like, what are they doing? Like, I don't get it. And I was just obsessed, and I bought a mixer, and I just like holed up in my apartment, and I was DJing like nonstop, like day, night. People would come, people would go.
Yeah.
It's just like DJ, DJ, DJ. Yeah. So when I moved to Philly, it was the time where I took it very seriously and, you know, actively hired myself out as a DJ. Like, I started to see myself as the DJ that was in my mind. Whereas before, it was kind of like, well, I'll do it at my friend's party, and, mm-hmm, I'll do it because, like, I know how to do it, or, mm-hmm, I'll do it for fun. But then in Philly, it was like, no, this is real. This is real.
Talk to me about one of your songs, Do You Feel It?
Do you feel it? Yeah.
What's the song about?
Well, it's quite simple. It's about feeling the vibe. And
okay.
It's kind of like a call out. I'm making a house track, and then I'm asking, do you feel it? Mm. Do you feel it? There's, mm-hmm, the chords, and there's the beats, and there's the vibe, and the vocals, and the call out is, do you feel it? And then the answer is, yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm answering for you. You do feel it.
So DJ Cosmic Cat here at Rainbow Country is a little place I like to call Erotic City. Attracted you to your wife, Carmen, when you first met her? Talk to me about that.
What attracts me to anyone, especially my wife, is joy. I remember when I met Carmen and we had coffee, and her eyes were sparkling, and she was telling me about, she was telling me about traveling to Haiti to do work on this project, and she was moving to Calgary. This is before we got together. Mm-hmm. She was moving to Calgary, and she was doing this project and that project. And she just was so passionate about it and so joyful and confident. Mm-hmm. But mostly, it's happiness. She was radiating positivity. And I was like, oh my God, she's like a little light fairy with fairy lights coming off of her. And I found that very attractive.
Yeah.
And I used to be attracted to the darker energy and think that was really hot and sexy. And now I guess, no, it's definitely I'm attracted to the light. And so that's the number one thing for me is positivity and then confidence. I like people who are just like, they're cool in their skin. They know who they are.
Yeah.
They know what they want. They know what they like. They're open, but they're confident in their values and themselves. I think that's super hot.
So how long have you and Carmen been together?
About 4-5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long have you been married?
2 years. I might be getting those numbers wrong. Okay, we got married in 2015. And yeah, we got married in 2015. So that's 3 years now.
You know, this never gets old for me because growing up, I never thought I would marry. I still don't think I'll ever marry anyone. But the fact that we can sit here, me as a gay person, and talk, have a show, and be able to sit across someone like yourself and talk about same-sex marriages and that you are married.
Legitimately at City Hall.
And, it's kind of
and
amazing.
Like, and they were 100% cool at City Hall. Like, it was just like, oh, this is just another wedding. I was like, wow, because as a teenager, I just thought, I've been out since I was 16. And I always thought marriage just wasn't going to be for me ever because I was gay. And I kind of maybe... which came first, the chicken or the egg, but I just became not interested in it. I was like, oh, who cares? Like, I don't need it. And I was actually against marriage. And then I remember maybe a couple of years ago when it was big in the States and they were like, we need to get married. And Ellen was like all like, and then they repealed it and they said yes and they said no. And I remember thinking like, ugh, like, who cares? Why is it such a big deal to get married? And who cares? And then I met Carmen and she, from the get-go, she was very positive about marriage and she was pretty open about, like, she would like to marry the person she was in love with.
Wow.
And I was kind of like, and then after, like, about a year, I was like, what am I holding on to? What is the big deal? Like, is it that hard for me to get married to someone that I love? And we had our own wedding. We did it in our own way. And we have our marriage that we make our own rules and what we want to do in our own marriage. And so it's like there are many, many realities. And we chose one that worked for us. And so it really kind of opened my mind. She's very good at opening my mind. It's like, you know, it doesn't have to be all those things that you're like against. And you know how you can have these ideas about an institution. And it's such a loaded institution, marriage. You know? A lot of people have a lot of negative, I had a lot of negative associations with it.
Right.
And I just let it all go and was like, well, let's do this. It's amazing. I mean, nothing's really changed. I have my ring, which I wear on the wrong hand. And I forget it a lot. But I have my ring, and, you know, we have our certificate, and, like, that's about it. You know, we say we're married, but nothing's really changed.
Who proposed?
I did.
Really?
I did. I thought and thought about it, and when I clicked it over in my mind, and I said, you know what? It's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. We can get married, and it would make her so happy, and it's just going to make us closer.
And you've been thinking about it.
And I was thinking about it. And then I'm the kind of person that when I think about something, like, I just have to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't just think about it for years. I just, that's it.
So before you were thinking about it, had you guys talked about it?
Yeah. And I was like, I'm against it. I don't
really
see the point. I never want to be married. I think it's stupid.
Wow.
Yeah.
and how did she respond?
She was like, oh. She was like, oh.
Oh.
Oh. I mean, she wasn't really like, you can't force someone to get married.
Yeah. But it meant a lot to her.
Yeah, I realized that I kind of was so dismissive.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, wow, I really brushed off something that's actually really important to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you start to think about what is really important to other people when you're in relationships with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And is it a problem for me? No, it's just kind of like old stuff I had about marriage. So I was like, let's do this.
DJ Cosmic Cat, how can people find you online?
Probably the best way is my website, www.djcosmic.com. Google is a friend of mine, so if you punch in Cosmic, COZMIC, CAT,
You're all over.
I'm all over. I work very hard at being all over. So yeah, it's all over. But Instagram is there, and I'm active on, you know, social media a lot, and the website's the best.
Yeah. DJ Cosmic Cat, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Like, I'm really blessed that you reached out and you brought me here. I'm really honored. Thank you.
Thank you. CIUT's gay radio show, Rainbow Country. And as always, I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country, Amark Tara. That was my spotlight on Toronto DJ Cosmic Cat. Don't forget, get social, get interactive on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. My email, mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes, Podomatic.com, Google Play Music, and on Spotify. And again, everything is hooked up at my website, marktara.com. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Segato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.